Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. And
on my nerves, I just taught a class of 40 boys. Don't make me do this. Just get off the chair and use a normal one.
Yeah, just don't distinguish yourself from your peers, because that's not Islamically right. You're trying to claim people are going to say why she? I mean, like, it's not fair. Okay. The hadith, what is the first hadith in the Imam Bukhari book about? What's the first hadith? Huh? About the intentions. Who can tell me about the hadith? Summary of the hadith. Like, translate it. Uh-huh. Yes. In very simple, plain language, easy. The person will get the reward according to the intention. That's the very simple way. The hadith itself, the body of the hadith says that deeds are judged according to intentions. And the individual and the doer will get only what he or she has intended from doing something, for doing the thing. Okay? So then the hadith continues to say, so whosoever immigrated for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, okay, he will be rewarded by Allah and His Messenger for immigrating. He will be rewarded for immigrating for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. And whomsoever immigrated to do business or to marry a woman, then his immigration will be reward. The reward of his immigration will be this woman that he married, okay, and the business he did. You got that? And there was a lady called Umm Qais. Umm Qais, there was a guy who loves Umm Qais so much. So when Umm Qais immigrated from Mecca to Medina, he immigrated after her. He immigrated to what? Marry her. He did not immigrate to support Islam and to support the newborn Islamic state. No, he immigrated to marry her. So his reward would be the marriage that he sought. He sought marriage, and that's what he intended, and this is what he gets.
Is this traveling to Mecca?
Immigrating from Mecca to Medina. You know, at the time of the early Islam, immigrating from Mecca to Medina was a mandatory thing. And it was a disliked thing, because when you migrate, you leave behind all your money and wealth and everything. And you just go to a new land with no money, with no wealth, with no home, with nothing. So it was a big, humongous sacrifice. Okay? All right. So the guy, from that point forward, the people used to call this guy immigrant of Umm Qais. Immigrant of Umm Qais, which is the woman he immigrated to marry. Immigrant of Umm Qais. Good job. Okay. Now, this hadith is one third of Islam. This hadith is one third of Islam. The other two thirds are not good without. Why this hadith is one third of Islam? And why the other two thirds is nothing without? Huh?
If you don't have the right intention,
yeah. If you don't have the right intention, you're screwed. This is how important it is. If you don't set your intention right, if you don't set your intention the right way, okay, you don't get rewarded, you lose it. So it's like the two-thirds of Islam that you're practicing, if we practice them with the wrong intention, then you're what? You're doomed. It's the most important hadith to learn. And do Allah judge by what happens in the physical world? I have a surprise for you. Allah does not judge us by what happens in the actual world.
Aha. He judges us by our intentions.
Exactly.
Yes.
So there are two worlds. Think of that we have two worlds. The world of the physical world around us, like we can see. And the other world is the world of intentions. The hearts. The world of the hearts. So Allah doesn't look at the deed. He looks into the intention. Heart. And that displays the intention. Now there was a... Let me ask a question.
If you have angels on your right shoulder and your left shoulder, you guys know about this, and they write the deeds that you're doing.
Yes.
Do you think they know about your intentions?
Yes.
No. No. That was the question that I was asking. Do angels know your intentions?
No.
Or is it a secret between you and Allah?
It's a secret between you and Allah.
So the angels who write the deeds, they write the deeds as is. They write the deed as they look. Okay? And Allah will take those deeds and translate them to hasanat or... to hasanat or sayyat, yes.
So if they have an intention to do something bad, they won't write it down, right? So it's either good or bad.
If you have an... It depends.
Write it down.
I'm going to explain to you details about that covers this item. Because that's a tricky question. That's not easy. So I'm going to explain it to you later. Today, inshallah. Okay. So two people will do the same exact thing. One of them goes to Jannah for doing this, and the other one will go to hellfire for doing the same thing. Why? Huh? Exactly. One, let's say for example, a person who's donating for the sake of Allah, he goes to Jannah. And the person who's donating for the sake of showing off, he goes to hellfire. So if I come like this and I'm a bad guy, I'm donating, I want to show off. I want to donate to like win the elections and be popular and or gain popularity or something like that. So I say, okay, this is a poor lady and I'm a donor. And I'm going to donate to her because I have a good heart. Here. Okay, so you see, guys, everybody see? I'm doing what? Donating. Or here we go. So I'm doing what? I told you I'm doing what? Huh? I'm doing what? Donating, right? Okay, bring me 6 o'clock news. Bring me 6 o'clock news. Now, the honorable blah blah is donating. Here we go. Take the donation. Take it. Well, I want to make sure you take it in front of the camera. Go. Okay, good. Yeah, camera. You know, you got the point here? Two people will do the same exact thing. One of them will go to hellfire. One of them will go to Jannah. The other one will go to hellfire for doing the same exact thing. Which is, again, emphasizes that Allah does not judge by the deeds. The actual deeds, Allah does not judge by the actual deeds. Allah judges by the what?
Intention.
But what happens in the intentions. There is there's a hadith about, very scary hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said.
About what?
The people that will hit hellfire first. Hellfire is the first layer of fire. Of hell. First layer of hell is called hell. Hellfire. That's the first layer. And usually it is for the disobedient people. Disobedient people. Okay? Usually disobedient believers. Disobedient believers go to the first layer of hell. To pay off for their crimes. And then when they get purified from their sins, then they go to Jannah. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said, the people that will be thrown in hellfire in the day of judgment, first, there are three of them. Three kinds. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the people who are going to go to hellfire first are among those three kinds. The first kind was a guy, or let's say three people. The first one is a guy who was teaching Quran all his life. And the second one was a scholar who was teaching Islam. And the third one is a donor who have donated a lot of money for Islamic causes. A lot of money. And actually, they are not three, they are four. And the fourth one is a person who died as martyr in a battle. Okay? All right. So now, they go meet Allah.
Distract them with questions.
So who can repeat the four kinds?
It's a person who was a martyr. He died in the war. And there's a person who taught Quran. And a person who was an imam.
Scholar who's teaching Islam.
And I don't know four. I know three.
Generous person who's donating. He has donating a lot of money for Islamic causes. These four people, they go to hellfire first. Huh?
Wow.
Yep. You know why?
Hold up.
Because
the hadith continues, says that the guy who was donating a lot of money, okay, or the guy who was learning Quran and teaching Quran. So he said, Ya Allah, I did this for your sake. I didn't get paid for it. I did it, I volunteered for your sake. Allah says, liar. You were showing off. You were doing that so that people will say about you as a scholar of Quran. You were doing it for the image. You were doing it for the title. That's what you wanted. That's what was in your heart. And that's what you get. I owe you nothing. I owe you zero. I owe you zero. You did it to be recognized as such. And you got the recognition. So I owe you absolutely nothing. Just think about it, common sense. If somebody's doing something, okay, and then not for the sake of Jannah. Not for the sake of Jannah. And then you ask this person, okay, are you doing this for the sake of Jannah, to go to Jannah? That person will say what? No. No, will say no, I'm not doing it for Jannah. You sure you're not doing it for Jannah? Yes, I'm not doing it for Jannah. What are you doing it for? Feel good. Okay? For whatever reason. I feel good doing it for whatever reason. So, would it be fair Allah gives him Jannah if he didn't want Jannah?
No.
Just think about it. He did not want Jannah. He wanted to be recognized. He really didn't want Jannah. So why should he get Jannah? He wanted the recognition.
Okay? That makes sense. Common sense.
Yeah. And then, the second one, is a scholar who taught Islam. Comes, Ya Allah, I spent long time learning Islam, and I spent long time teaching Islam for your sake. Ya Allah, I deserve to go to Jannah. I want to go to Jannah. I want your mercy. I deserve your mercy. So Allah says, no. You taught Quran, you taught Islam, so that people will say a scholar. You wanted to be recognized as such. And you did. You didn't do it for me. You really didn't do it for me. So you did it to be recognized for the status, and you got the status. Then that's it. I owe you nothing. I owe you zero for doing that. That was your reward. Now, the third person is the person who spending money right and left. Ya Allah, I spent my treasure, my all my savings, all of my blah blah, for your sake, and for the sake of building Islamic schools, hospitals, to blah blah. You know what I'm saying? Then Ya Allah, I did this for all for your sake, Ya Allah. Allah says, liar! You did it so that people will recognize you and say, generous. You did it so that people will say what?
That he's generous.
I owe you nothing. I owe you zero. You did it for the status and you got it. Whatever you intended, you got. You did not intend me, you don't get me. You did not intend Jannah, you don't get Jannah. Okay? Mm-hmm. then Allah will order, for every time Allah will order an angel to drag that person on his or her face to hell. Throw them in hell.
Face?
Drag them on their face, like they would be laying on the ground, face down. They could be grab them from the legs and throw them in hell.
That's
okay? So those are the four people who get thrown in hellfire. Hellfire is the first layer of fire. Hellfire is the layer where the disobedient believers. Martyr, yeah. Yeah, the martyr, same thing. Ya Allah, I died for your sake. Ya Allah, ya Allah. Allah says,
you did it.
Liar. You did it so that people will say you're so brave.
I thought the martyr one was, yeah, to be a martyr, but he also wanted...
No, he did it to be... be recognized as brave.
Okay.
For the, you did it for the status. You did it for the talk. You did it for the recognition. And well, that's what you intended, and this is what you got. I owe you?
Huh? Nothing.
Nothing. Zero. And then the angels, Allah orders the angels to drag him on his face down, and drag him and boom, throw him in hell or her in hellfire. You got that part? Okay. Now, when you do something, and it appears to be something that's done, a good deed, it appears to be a good deed. So, angels, let's say you did a good deed for an evil intention. You did a good deed for an evil intention. For example, like donating to show off. Got it? Donating to show off. If you do a good deed for an evil intention. The angels on the right and the left would write what? Which one would write the deed? The right-hand side angel or the left-hand side angel?
Right-hand.
Right-hand side angel. Why?
Because it was a, it appeared to be a good thing.
Yes. Nobody's allowed to judge intention. Absolutely forbidden. The only one that's allowed to judge intention is?
Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many things that the angels do write the deed, and Allah will take this deed from the book of deeds in the Day of Judgment and translate it into hasanat. You understand?
Yeah.
So you do something, Allah will translate it into equivalent hasanat when? In the Day of Judgment.
And Allah knows your intentions.
And Allah knows your intentions very well. And the intention is a secret between you and Allah. No other creation of Allah will know about your secret except you and Allah. About your intention except you and Allah. Okay? Except you and Allah. Nobody else. All right. I'll tell you about the joke. I'll tell you a joke about that intention thingy. Oh, such a pretty girl. Doodling. I'll tell you a joke about the... About the intentions. There was a guy who was praying in the masjid all by himself. Nobody was there. So he is praying, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Maliki, Yawm Al-Din, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. And then he started getting into the prayer, start focusing more and more into the prayer. And he got touched by the Quran. So when he started reading the Quran, he started crying, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan. Because he got touched, really. The Quran touched his heart, and then he was crying. And then, so far so good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, a few minutes later, his friends come into the masjid where he is praying. So they come into the masjid, and they stand behind him, seeing him. والأرض وضع لنا فيها فاكهات والنهل. You know, they hear him saying that. So they say, wow, look at brother X. Look at brother so. He's good believer. Look, he's focusing. Look, he's crying.
He's probably crying because he didn't want to
crying. Pray. He's crying when he was alone out of fear of Allah. and out of love to Allah. And then, so the guy heard that, he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. And he looked at them and he said, and I am wallahi al-azim fasting as well. I am fasting too. You didn't get it, did you?
He didn't say it well. So he was praying. He doesn't even say it. So he's in the middle of prayer. And then he hears it and he's ends the prayer. And then he turns to them and he says, and I'm praying too. He goes back to prayer.
And I'm fasting.
And I'm fasting too, sir.
So he basically showing off. He said he did that to show off. So he was praying, and when he heard the recognition, when he heard them recognizing him from the back, so he got he got the desire of showing off. Okay? So he said, Salaam alaikum, salaam alaikum. And wallahi, I am fasting too. And wallahi, I am fasting too. I'll tell you another joke. There was a guy who, if he's praying alone, he prays the entire prayer in 40 seconds.
What?
Okay. But, like that, yeah. And if somebody's watching him, he prays the prayer in like 5-6 minutes. You know, takes time. So he started praying alone. And then he started, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and then he heard a voice. He heard sound behind him. So he figured that somebody came in. So he starts saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim. He started now praying with focus, okay? Alright? And then after he finished the prayer, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he looked behind to see who was that voice, who was that sound. It was the sound of a dog standing behind him.
That's just sad.
Yeah, that's just sad. Okay, so basically he was, he thought he's a human. So he prayed a perfect prayer. But it ends up to be a dog. So, okay. Now, there is a hadith that will lead us to your point, your question earlier about the thing. There is a hadith.
Nina drew on my paper.
There is a hadith that says that this life, people in this life are divided into four categories. Four what?
Categories.
Too poor and too rich. Okay. The first category is a rich and righteous.
Oh, we talked about this already.
Where?
In Quran class.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But not in this class. So, okay. The first kind is rich and?
Righteous.
Righteous. Rich and righteous. So, the rich and righteous, he is using his money, huh? He's using his money the righteous way. He's spending his money
in a righteous way.
In a righteous way for the sake of Allah. This is, so far, this is good, this is perfect, this is good, right?
Yes.
Yes, he's rich and righteous, he's spending his money for the sake of Allah. With, of course, he's righteous, good intention, righteous intentions and everything. And then, in the other side, there is a poor and righteous. There is a poor and righteous.
He doesn't have the money to do good things, but wants them.
Aha. This poor and righteous does not have the money to do good deeds, does not have the money to do what the rich righteous is doing. So he looks at the deeds done by the rich and righteous, and he says, ya Allah, I wish you give me money so that I do like my brother, my rich and righteous brother. Okay? But Allah did not give him the money and he didn't do it. But he wishes, he has a desire, strong desire. Ya Allah, if you would give me money, I'll do like my companion. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about both of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are both equally rewarded. Equally what?
Equally rewarded.
Rewarded. One spent money, but the other did not spend a penny. Penny, did not spend even one penny. Huh? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
He did not spend even one penny.
But he wanted to.
But he wanted to. And they both get rewarded. The prophet used these two fingers. What are these two fingers here? These
two fingers. The pointer finger and the middle finger.
Yeah. He said they are equally rewarded. Like that. Equally rewarded.
They're not the same.
Equally rewarded. Okay? And then the other two are riches, bad and rich. The other one is rich and bad. The other one is rich and bad. Okay, do you think about it. A rich and a bad person. A rich, bad person will spend his money for what? To do what? Huh? Such as? Such as?
Such as?
Drinking.
Buying drinks and...
Yeah, for example, throwing...
Stop.
Throwing... Somebody's sleeping over there.
Party.
Throwing, yes, haram parties.
You have a headache.
Yes, haram parties.
Wait, who was sleeping?
Spending money to...
She's just putting her head on the table.
To promote people who dance.
Oh.
And to fund them and pay for them. And to promote the people who sing bad songs, and you know what I'm saying? And they spend money. They pay... what's a famous actress? Like Elizabeth Taylor, for example. They promote her. They... hello?
You know what? Lena is bothering us. She deserves
Lena,
that.
Lena. Okay. And so... And then his friend or his companion, okay, is a poor, bad. Is a bad boor. Bad poor. The bad boor is saying, he looks at what his bad rich partner is doing. What's going on now?
Lena keeps my pencil all the way over there.
They look and they say,
Yelena. Okay, I'm
sorry. They look and they say, okay, I wish I have this money to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's bad.
I wish I have money to do the same thing. And then I've seen that with my own eyes when I was in Cairo, actually. There was a guy who's apparently rich, who's driving an expensive Mercedes.
Oh, my dad has a Mercedes.
Well, in Egypt. Okay, oh. So in Egypt, the Mercedes is the top car. It's the top. Okay, it's the top car over there. Among the top cars. So now he is driving the Mercedes. And then he wants to... do haram business with a bad girl. So there was a bad girl walking on the street, on the curb, and then he stops the car and he honks boop, 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 at her. She looks at him and she comes and she rides the car with him. Of course, you know, you can see what haram business they are heading towards. And then on the other side, I've seen a guy who is poor. But apparently, he was a bad guy, okay? So he did this. He held his cap and said, damn it! Look at those guys. They are enjoying. I wish I had this, what they have, so that I can do the same. I wish I had they have these cars. I wish I have one of these cars. I wish I have one of this money, and I will do the same thing they are doing. I wish they envy them. And I heard it. The guy saying, damn it, darn it. And he was doing it loudly. He was so mad. And he was publicly announcing, I wish I have the car and the money to do the same. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ pointed to both of them and he said, they are equally
punished.
Okay? In my opinion, the fourth guy, which is poor and bad, is a loser because he didn't even get to do the bad deed to enjoy it, sort of. He didn't get to do it, but he got the blame for it. Okay? He got the blame for it. All right. Do you know why people, why the believers stay in Jannah forever, even though they have worshipped Allah a limited number of years? Let's say they worshipped Allah like, let's say, 60 years. They end up going to Jannah forever. And at the same time, bad guys disobeyed Allah for 60 years. They end up going into hellfire forever. Can you think about a reason related to the intention?
Anybody, if I just started this, you guys can think of this. Unless you're tired, like, sort of. And bored.
Half.
Like her.
Anybody, no, this is really easy to piece together.
What's the question? What are you talking about?
I'm sure all of you guys were thinking it, so go ahead.
Okay. So it's something that has to do with the intention.
Wait. I said repeat the question.
I repeat the question. Okay. Well, I was repeating the question. What is it that, for something related to the intentions, Allah will send the believers to Jannah to live forever, even though they worshipped Him only for like 60, 70 years on earth?
Jannah's forever, and if they're good, how, like... He's not going to put them in hell.
If he let them live forever, they would keep being good.
Takbir. MashaAllah. What's your name?
Jazza.
Yeah, MashaAllah. Smart. Because Allah, if Allah gives them everlasting life,
they will worship him
everlasting worship.
Everlasting
Got
life
it?
Worship.
So Allah judges them by the intention. They did not get an everlasting life, and they will not. But they intended, as long as they're alive, they will worship Allah. So Allah gives them an everlasting life in heaven. How about the other way around? The people who disobey Allah, or the people who commit evil acts, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do these bad deeds, evil deeds, they do it for 60 years only. Why are they going to hellfire forever?
Because they disobey Allah.
That's right, mashallah. Because if Allah will give them an everlasting life, then they will do what? Exactly. If Allah gives them an everlasting life, okay, they will keep disobeying Him. So Allah punishes them according to their intention. Okay. Allah judges by the intention and nothing but the intention. What happens in the actual life is irrelevant. To Allah, He judges by the intentions.
So how about if a person says they do something bad, but their intention is not to? Like, they say, oh, I shouldn't do it, but then they do it anyways. So what happens to them?
Can you give me an example?
A person goes to Apple and somehow they steal a phone, even though they're like, oh, I shouldn't do it. Do they go to hellfire for that?
Yeah. Because they...
they get sins for it, whether you go to hellfire for that or not.
You intended to steal it.
What if
and you stole it.
Something bad that you don't know is bad.
Forgiven. If you, in your situation, if this person say, I shouldn't do that, but he did it, okay, that does not relieve the person. The person has to repent. Okay? The person has to repent. Or the person talking to himself before he said, I'm going to do something evil. I shouldn't be doing it. Snatch the phone. I shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, like that.
No, that doesn't work. Go ahead.
Unless you're kleptomaniac.
What if you're like forced to do something because your life or someone else's life depends on it, but then it's like a sin to do that.
The first martyrs of Islam were the mother and father of
Ammar ibn Yasir,
and he had to like watch his parents die because they didn't want to curse the Prophet.
Oh yes,
and
I remember this.
the son was crying to the prophet, and the prophet kind of was just, well, the
prophet was like,
you
that's too bad.
They forced him to say that Islam is a lie and Muhammad is a liar. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yes. And so he said it, but he said it, his heart did not believe in it. He just said it out because of the torture. So when he was let go, he went to the Prophet and said, Prophet Muhammad, I did this and that. So Prophet Muhammad asked him, how is your heart? He said, no, of course. I believe in Allah and His Messenger. He said, then don't worry about it. If they ask you to say it again, say it.
He said, my heart.
If they ask you to curse me and curse Islam again, just go ahead, feel free. Just like they're babies looking for, crying for something to calm them down.
Like
just calm them down. Yeah, calm them down. Tell them what they want. Let them hear what they want to hear. It doesn't matter. What matters is in what your heart. So the Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah is not blamed for things that they have forgotten, mistakes, forgetfulness, and things that they are forced to do. If you're forced to do something, you're not blamed. If you forgot to do something, you're not blamed. And if you're ignorant, did something by mistake, you're not blamed. And also, of course, if you're insane, you're totally not blamed at all in anything you do. All right. Hold on. Let me even magnify this to the extreme. Let's say, for example, when I was teaching at college, by the way, this happened to me. When I was teaching at college, and I was in a trip, and I was in a trip with my students, okay?
What, you go on trips in college?
Oh, forgetful.
Forgetful. Okay, so now I am with the students going out, okay, in a conference, traveling. And then at the end of the day, we go to the restaurant to eat. And the restaurant they selected had alcohol on it. And they know that I'm a righteous guy. I don't drink. I don't even know much about drinking beer and all of these things. Like, at one point of my life, I didn't know what beer is.
What? But so, then again, he did come from Egypt, so the word beer, and along with the word cat, dog, and other such words.
So now the students are very obnoxious, and they are whispering each other. They want to trick me. So what they did, I asked it for.
It was some kind of drink.
Anyway, a drink that's fruit of punch, fruit salad,
fruit
salad. Margarita. So margarita, they can spray alcohol in margarita. So I asked it for margarita. So they went behind my back and they told the waitress to put a lot of alcohol in it. Okay, it was like a brink, you know, doing me a brink. So I drank it. Okay.
What?
All right. Now, do I get any sense?
No,
because my intention is I am drinking juice.
Drinking.
I am drinking juice.
Wait, so what happened
in
the end?
Did it taste good?
Oh my god!
I felt strange because I'm not used to the alcohol. So any little amount will make a difference in my system.
Did it taste strange?
Because of the what happened to me afterwards.
Like, did they tell you that?
Well, when I confronted the waitress, the waitress told me, and then she told me, the students told her to do that. Anyway, but the bottom line, I'm trying to take out of it. Am I guilty? Did I do anything wrong?
No, that's where that's...
Why? Why? Because in my heart, I am drinking juice. In my heart, I'm drinking what?
Juice.
I am not drinking alcohol. Okay.
Did it taste weird?
So, now, the other side is that if a person, okay, thinks that this cup has alcohol in it, thinks that this cup of water has alcohol, or this cup of juice has alcohol in it. I know it has alcohol, and I drink from it, but it doesn't, but actually it doesn't have an alcohol. You understand?
Yeah.
This cup doesn't have an alcohol, but I think it is, so I drink from it. In my mind, I am drinking alcohol. But this is not true because the cup doesn't have alcohol. Do I get the sin of drinking alcohol?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you see the extreme? So if you are drinking alcohol, okay, buy alcohol and you didn't know about it, okay, you're not drinking alcohol, okay, because in your mind you're not drinking alcohol. And the other side is that if you are not drinking alcohol, you got what I want to say? Okay.
Yes, I get it.
Oh, also, so if you have your
a few more minutes.
Drawing and you're intending to rip it, and so you rip it, and then you look at it and it turns out to be your drawing, and now you're really sad, you still get the bad deeds of ripping up your sister's drawing as well as ripped drawing of your own.
How about if she forgave you?
Well, you should probably ask for forgiveness from a monk.
Yeah, okay, we're going to continue on the subject, inshallah, next week. Assalamu alaikum. Don't forget to do your homework.
There's not a question. I have a black chapter that I used to have one.